I was watching a program a few months ago, and I don't know if any of you saw it. It was called From Bronx to Bradford. Anybody see it? It was a couple of people. It was an amazing program about a group of Franciscan friars, so a group of monks who were living in Bradford, just quietly praying, working with their local church, and serving the poor. And I found myself completely inspired by them, inspired and also deeply challenged. I highly recommend looking it up. I think you can probably still get it on YouTube or something like that. Bronx to Bradford. But these guys were living a truly simple life. They had just what they needed and not more. And to make sure that this stayed the case, they actually did something every so often called a poverty check. And a poverty check was when they went around their house to see if they'd accumulated things that they didn't need. Because obviously they were getting donations from people. People were very kind to them. But they still felt that they needed to check in case they were accumulating stuff. So I remember watching them as they sort of potted around their kitchen, all of them. And they said things like, oh, we've got 2 ice cream scoops. We don't need 2 ice cream scoops. Let's pick our favorite and then give one away, which I loved for 2 reasons. One, because it shows that monks eat ice cream, which I'm just deeply encouraged by. And 2, just that idea of going, actually, we don't need both. Let's just give one away. Absolutely loved it. So I found their lifestyle and attitude just hugely refreshing. It's not something that we see very often in our world, I think. So they were living a particularly radical version of the life that Jesus is asking us to live through the passage and the story that he told. Now, we're definitely not all called to be Franciscan friars, don't worry. But I do think that we are asked to allow this teaching to challenge us and to make us think about our own lives and how we live. It's a real story which challenges our attitude towards resources, towards money, and towards just stuff. Jesus says, you know, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And so he told this story about this rich man whose land had given this bumper crop, like so much food produced. And so he comes up with a solution. His problem, he's not got a place to store it all. So his solution, knock those down and build bigger barns. That's what his solution is. And you know what? Actually, that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you've got too much grain, it's fairly reasonable to say, okay, so what you need is you need a bigger place to store it. So I think that actually, in some ways, that seems fair enough. And the man says to himself, fantastic, I can take it easy now, eat, drink, and be merry, which is true. You know, his land has produced a lot of crops, which he can have and rely on for many, many years to come. So he's okay. He's doing really well for himself. It's all good. Except that it's not good. It's not good. And suddenly the story takes a turn. And God essentially says in the story, look, you're going to die tonight. What's going to happen with all this stuff that you've accumulated then? When the man had received this kind of bumper crop, he had choices. He could have shared it around and shared it with others, but he chose instead to safeguard his own future for a long time going forward. He could have helped many people, but he chose to help himself. You know, he chose to build a bigger barn. And I think this is a challenge which is as relevant today as when this story was first told, if not more so. We're living in a world where, as we saw before, the inequality between rich and poor, you know what? It's an outrage. It's an outrage. In January this year, Oxfam published a statistics which just was absolutely shocking. It said that the richest 8 people in the world own the same as the poorest 3.5 billion people in the world. So 8 men have the same amount of stuff as the poorest half of the world, 3.5 billion people. This is an outrage, and it needs addressing. We need to be standing up and saying that it's wrong that some people have more money than they could spend in 170 lifetimes, while other people don't have enough food, don't have enough water, don't have shelter. Now, in 1974, a group of Christian leaders from around the world got together and they began something called the Lausanne Movement. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but they looked at and made some statements about their beliefs about the world and what we should be doing. And they said this. They said, "All of us are shocked by the poverty of millions and disturbed by the injustices which cause it. Those of us who live in affluent circumstances accept our duty to develop a simple lifestyle in order to contribute more generously to both relief and evangelism. Those of us who live in more affluent circumstances accept our duty to develop a simple lifestyle in order to contribute more generously." And I love this statement. And what I love about it is it's not actually about pointing fingers of blame elsewhere and what's causing all of those problems, but actually just encouraging people to play their part in addressing it. You know, the inequality in the world is driven by this attitude of building bigger barns. That's the attitude behind it. And actually, that's an attitude which you see in far more than just the super rich. You see it all over in our society. So the suggestion the statement makes is that we commit to trying to live a simpler life so that there is more to share with others. So if we find ourselves in the fortunate position of having a bit more than we need, we have choices. You know, are we going to safeguard our own futures or that of our family and build a bigger barn? Or are we going to look outside of ourselves and our immediate family to the needs of others and take them into account as well? But what does that look like? What does that sort of avoiding the temptation to build a bigger barn look like? How does that simple life look like? Well, at the extreme end, you've got those Franciscan friars, haven't you? Living their commitment to serving the poor and only having one ice cream scoop in their kitchen. I think for most of us, it's probably not that. That's a very specific calling. But it could be about the little things. It could be about, you know, bringing contributions to the food bank and possibly thinking about doing it throughout the year rather than just the big occasions where we collect. It could be about choosing not to buy too many clothes, more than we need. Or maybe about choosing not the most expensive pair of trainers that we've seen on TV. It could be about choosing actually to spend a little bit more on our food, but choosing to buy fair trade. Fair trade being all about the fact that actually when we spend that bit more, we make sure that the person at the other end, the farmer who's producing it, gets more for their money, so to distribute wealth more equally that way. For me, I started by avoiding casually flicking through catalogues. In particular, for me, the Lakeland catalogue, which I find particularly difficult because what I discover is, as I look at them, I discover all of the things that I didn't need a moment ago, but now clearly I do need, and I don't know how I've lived my life up to this point without them. How have I survived without a snowflake pie mould, or a stainless steel whole hard-boiled egg slicer, or a smart toaster? Yes, that's a thing. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions, says Jesus. And he leaves us with that challenge to not get sucked into the culture of building bigger barns, but consider how we might make our own contribution, our own little bit of difference in making the world a better and fairer place, trying to live that simpler life so that there is more to share. Amen.